Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Constitutionalists. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, also known as the Disrespected Trucker. And I'm here with my co-host, Travis Bull Johnson with the Constitutional Republic Party. Travis, how you doing tonight, my friend? Uh-oh, I bet he muted his phone. Now he doesn't know how to get his off of mute. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I muted the phone, and I just got a brand new phone. And I just went back to look at something real quick online. Then came back, and it had my keyboard up, and I could not figure out how to get off my damn keyboard to unmute myself.
I remember you telling me, you said, hey, I got a new phone. You should be able to hear me better now on the show. I'm like, oh, great. And then when you didn't get on, I'm like, ah, he muted himself, and now he hasn't figured that part out yet. That's all right. I try to do it myself. I forget to put it on mute when I'm not talking, and then you can hear me banging around in the background. So I forget sometimes too. But bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're just two guys that love this country and believe in the Constitution, and we want to share some knowledge with you. Let you be aware of what your constitutional rights are and what the Constitution really is. Are we going to get into a university professor explaining it to you like a university professor? No. We're going to get into it like two guys that enjoy and love the Constitution. And we're just going to read the Constitution one by one every week and have a discussion. And this week we're going to get into the Third Amendment. And the Third Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pretty simple one. There's not a lot of controversy surrounding it, and it's pretty straightforward. But Bull's going to get into a little bit more in depth than that. And I think we talked pre-show, and I think he's got a pretty good a definition of the Third Amendment, which will go back to the First Amendment, which we'll get into a conversation. Involving the First Amendment in current events. I want you to remember, folks, we started this 2 weeks ago. This is our third week. We're doing this. It's going to change just a little bit as we do things and figure things out and see how the conversation works. And we were talking pre-show. I said, you know, maybe we should get into discussion so maybe the audience can call in and share their opinion and their thoughts about current events involving the Constitution, especially the ones that we've covered, which is the first, second, and now, which will be the third. So you're welcome to call in, ladies and gentlemen. If you are listening on the Internet, the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733, and just press the number 1. And when I see you pop up on my switchboard and you hit that number 1, a little hand will raise. That means you want to come on air. And we'll put you on air, and you're welcome to share your thoughts and your opinions, whether you agree with us or you disagree with us. All that we ask is that you try to keep it respectful. Nobody on this side is going to yell at you or call you names if you disagree with us or if you have a different opinion. That's okay. That's what America is all about. So without further ado, let's go right into the Third Amendment. And the Third Amendment states, no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So with that being said, what that means, it forbids the forcible housing of military personnel in a citizen's home during peacetime and requires the process to be prescribed by law in times of war. Now, I know we've all been pretty sheltered in our lives here in America for the most part, minus the sacrifices that our service members have made. And Travis Bull Johnson is actually a veteran of the United States Armed Forces. So I'm going to let him go right into his explanation of the Third Amendment in simple terms. And he'll explain it like you're a two-year-old, so you all understand it. And I need that explanation myself sometimes. So, Travis, the floor is yours, my friend.
All right. So to go a little bit into the history of the Third Amendment and why it came to be. Ever since Roman times, the ruling class would house soldiers in private households, and they used that to kind of control the peace, to keep eyes on troublemakers, and so forth. About 100 years before our revolution, the monarchy, the British monarchy, basically passed a law that forbade doing that. However, it exempted the colonies. So while they could not do that in England anymore, they still could in the colonies and so forth. And in fact, after the Boston Massacre, they specifically put it in writing in 1774 to allow the quartering of British soldiers in colonial households. So after the Revolutionary War, and they started working on our Constitution and so forth, when they had, the first thing they did was the Articles of the Confederacy. And believe it or not, this amendment was not in the Articles of the Confederacy. It was included in, I believe, five of the original 13 states, their own constitution, their new state constitution, so to speak. That is what brought it over to the to be included as the Third Amendment in our Constitution. Now, it is one of the least reference amendments in court cases since the beginning of our Constitution. It has never been really used as a primary case, and part of the reason for that is they say it's pretty plain, it's pretty simple. You will not do this. That doesn't mean it hasn't been important. The Supreme Court has referenced the Third Amendment and justifying why we have a right to privacy. They use the Third Amendment to state, hey, no, this is an example of why somebody's abode is their castle, that we can't just put soldiers in there because we don't have that right. They have that right to privacy of that abode themselves. That's what helps establish some of our original property rights. So while it is not one that's been used very often, I do believe it is one that's more important than we first assumed, because it is what the Supreme Court used to determine that we as Americans do have a right to privacy.
So the right there is your explanation of the Third Amendment. Even though I don't think I've ever even heard the Third Amendment being used in my lifetime, in my recollection. Have you, Bull, at all?
No. And again, they have never actually had a case go to the Supreme Court specifically on the subject of what the Third Amendment says. It's never been utilized.
Yes. What that means is, like when I said that we've lived a relatively protected life here in the United States, that's why right there. Because it's never even been brought up to the Supreme Court.
It was attempted to be used once in a case in New York where you had corrections officers that were in government-owned housing, basically. And they were trying to use that to house National Guardsmen at one point. And they sued, saying, no, this is our private abodes. But, of course, the case ended up getting solved on procedural grounds, so they never actually heard the Third Amendment argument.
Okay, so there's a new story that came out of New York State yesterday or the day before, where Mayor Eric Adams has offered people money for migrants to be housed in their homes. Now, the Third Amendment, specific on military personnel, what would the Third Amendment be? Would that be in play here with migrants? I don't think it will, but
I don't think it will, but I do think I don't know. I mean, but again, he's not forcing people. He's basically offering money to people to do it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's offering money at this point, but that's where it starts.
Yeah.
When people don't want to comply with that, then the government starts to do their forceful tactics, and that's what makes worries me. And I know that's protected, but which amendment is that protected under? And I don't think it falls under the Third Amendment, but I could be wrong.
I think kind of tangentially they could probably do that because, again, it specifically said soldiers, but in effect what it meant was the government. The soldiers were arms of the government.
The government can't force people.
Yeah, so I think that they may be able to make a claim on that, even though it's not soldiers, by just stating that, hey, you know what, this is the same thing. They are agents of the government, so to speak.
Okay. So,
it would also be included in one of the other amendments. It would, we're having a brain fart here which one it was, but where it says that it's the one they use for eminent domain where they could take control of something, but they have to pay you for it.
Yeah, and I can't think of that off my head right now either.
There's way too much to learn.
Yeah, the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment. Well, I think it's under the Fourth, isn't it?
I think it is under the Fourth.
Yeah, we'll check it. But we'll cover that next week. But like I said at the beginning of the show, there's not a lot to discuss about the Third Amendment, mainly because it hasn't been used in a large proportion. It's kind of untalked about. But the nice fact about that, if you think about it, that's there to protect you, that your federal government ain't going to house troops in your home without you wanting them there. Even though I'd take if a veteran needed a place to stay, hell, I'd take a veteran in, but if I had the room, but it doesn't force the federal government to push something onto you. And that's the whole point of the Constitution, to limit the government and give the people the voice. That's the whole point of the Constitution. It's the Constitution wasn't made like Joe Biden stated in a speech, we the people or we the government. No, that is furthest from the truth, completely opposite of what the Constitution was written for. We the people means we the people. The government works for us. The Constitution was created so we could limit the powers of a federal government so they don't become tyrannical. That's the bottom line. It's not meant to protect your feelings, because it's pretty straightforward. It's not there to protect your feelings. It's there to protect you and me and everybody. So just remember that. I told Travis, we texted earlier today, and I told him, he asked, are we doing number three tonight? And I said, yeah, we're going to do number three. He goes, well, there's not much there to talk about. And I said, that's okay. We'll get into a little discussion about number three. At least people know about amendment number three and the Third Amendment. And go ahead.
Do you want to put one more on the Third Amendment? Is one of the cases that it was basically they were challenging an army surveillance program directed at civilians. And the Supreme Court did directly counter with the Third Amendment as an example of why we have that separation between the military and the civilians. It's a traditional and strong resistance of Americans to any military intrusion into their civilian affairs.
So, I'm glad that the Third Amendment exists, even though I'm very, very uneducated about the Third Amendment as far as in depth. But it's also kind of self-explanatory, like in some sense, where the First and the Second Amendment get a little bit complicated, and there's a lot of, especially the Second Amendment, well, the First Amendment too, there's a lot of arguing back and forth and interpretation back and forth of what exactly that entails. And, you know, going back to the Second Amendment, I've heard people call, you know, say, well, they wrote the Second Amendment when they amended the Constitution in 1791, and that's when they had, you know, black powder and muskets. And I've made that point before. Exactly. They had the same weaponry as the government. So they were able to protect themselves against a tyrannical government. They made it that pretty clear. Well, technology happens over 240 years or 230 years. We've got pistols. We have all sorts of different weaponry now. You know, I've thought about it a lot, about the Second Amendment, and I thought, you know, shouldn't the American people be able to have the same weaponry that our own military has? Because it says well-armed militia in the Second Amendment. So what does that mean? What does a well-armed militia mean? Does that mean, you know, Don down the street that has a 1970 Chevelle with a 350 hanging out of his tree in his front yard that he's rebuilding? Should he have an F-15 fighter pilot jet in his backyard? You know, that's up for debate, honestly. It truly is. Because should he be able to have the same weaponry as the United States government? In a civilized society, one would say, well, no, I don't think he does. But if you go back and read the Constitution as it's stated, as a matter of fact, he should be allowed to have the same weaponry as the United States government, in my opinion. Now, I'm not here to claim that I'm Einstein and I know everything about everything. That's just my thoughts, my opinion on the matter.
Well, I used to tell people when I was running for Congress, they would ask me what my thoughts on the Second Amendment was. And I would look at them straight in the eye and say, my opinion on the Second Amendment basically states that I should be able to park my tank anywhere I want to on my property.
Yeah.
And the looks I would get.
No, go ahead.
No, just the looks I would get with that response. And it's like I would tell people, I mean, the Second Amendment was very much meant for the people to have the same firepower in order to keep the government in check. The Constitution does not give the government a lot of power. But you do have to have those tools in place to be able to keep the government in check, to keep them from granting itself powers that is not granted in the Constitution. And let's face it, over the last 200 years, we've done a very poor job of that.
Sorry about the background noise. I forgot to unmute my phone. But I wanted to touch on that. There was a speech that Joe Biden did recently, and he was referring to people standing up against the United States government. And he says, don't they know that we have F-15 fighter jets? And that's why I used the F-15 fighter jets as an example. When your government starts talking to you like that and explaining things to you like that, like they're telling you, like, come on and try it, like FAFO. Yeah. And that's unacceptable. No government, no federal government, no state government, no local government should ever point their finger at you and poke their finger in your chest. Like, try it. That's a bully. That's exactly what our Second Amendment was trying to prevent. And people want to argue this fact all the time. And in my opinion, there's nothing to argue about that we should have the means to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government that threatens you.
Mm-hmm. And you should never underestimate the. You should just never underestimate the will of the people. I mean, one of my things was, or examples was one from the Vietnam War, when a helicopter came back and it actually had arrows sticking out of the helicopter. And one of the guys goes, how do they expect to be able to beat the full force of the United States with when they're using bows and arrows to get the helicopter? And the response was, how do you beat a people who will use bows and arrows against a helicopter? And it really would makes you think about just the how strong that will of the people is. I had to do a last year, about a year ago, I was invited to be a guest speaker for the Libertarian Party of North Dakota for their annual convention. And this was just about the time that the Russia invaded the Ukraine. And, I mean, this was like within the first couple days. And we were just trying to talk about which way did we think it was going to go and how it was going to play out. And my comment to them was very simple. I mean, over the last few hundred years, with the exception of the Native Americans, no people who have not consented to being ruled by a foreign party or a foreign country has ever been overwhelmed and not eventually won. You look at what we did in Vietnam, eventually we get kicked out. You look at us in Iraq, eventually we got kicked out. Both us and the Russians got kicked out of Afghanistan. Although we had superior firepower to superior technology, unless you won the hearts of the people, you always ended up losing. Because eventually the will of the people always toppled the invaders. And I think that's a valuable lesson to keep a track of, and why it's so important to keep our Second Amendment rights is because although we do not have that super technology, we do not have the F-15s, eventually we will overcome if it ever came to that point.
People will rise. You know, I've been involved in a lot of things where I beg people to just rise up, stand up, and speak. You have rights. You can stand up, and you can peacefully assemble, and you can let the government, you know that you're not pleased with their decisions. You know, in the times that I've stood up, the biggest one was again the People's Convoy, and that's the worst one I experienced with intimidation and death threats. That one was really, 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 really bad. All the other times I've stood up, I never had any issues with that. Never had any threats. Never any. You know, we were in D.C. in 2020 for 21 straight days. Nobody got arrested. Nobody got. There was no violence. We stood there peacefully, and you know, we aired out our grievances with our government. What's sad about today is people have been intimidated and gaslit by the media to make you believe that you have no right to stand up for yourself. All the meanwhile, they'll support a certain agendas that are happening across the country. Like us, when we were against the mandates, we were anti-vaxxers, and we were this, and we were that, and we were, you know, you look up at Canada with the Freedom Convoy. Justin Trudeau, he called them white supremacists and all sorts of horrible names, and they were peaceful. There was never any violence in Canada either. I'm friends with a lot of them that started that convoy. They sat in Ottawa, and they were peaceful. And they were ridiculed, and they just, I mean, it was horrible watching it, which motivated me to get involved. And I got the same treatment in this wonderful country of a constitutionally protected republic. I got that same treatment. And that was at the time in 20, that was last year when I did that, so that was 2022. But it was a little bit prior to that that I was laying in bed one night, and I was thinking about things, which I always do, and I thought, what in the hell happened to this country? What happened?
Yep.
Where did we go wrong? Where is it where we can't even have a conversation anymore about our disagreements? We just have to – we either ram it down each other's throats and that's it, or,
yep.
You know, we call each other horrible names. And
yep.
It's –
That's
why you got into it too, Travis, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, one of the things I look at on where, when things started to go south, I guess you could say. I want to go back to the era right during the Civil War. You had a United States Congress who was basically debating on ending slavery. But when the actual members of Congress sat down and looked at the Constitution, they said, you know what, we do not have the authority by the Constitution to do this. We were not given this right. So if we want to do this, we need to amend the Constitution. You will not see that anymore today. Today, what you will see is a U.S. Congress who will say, you know what, the Constitution says this, but I think we should do this. Let's pass this law and let the courts decide. Is the United States Congress refuses to actually honor the Constitution and the limits the Constitution set for them. So they intentionally break the Constitution or stretch the Constitution and put it on the courts, which may be 3, 4, 5, 6 years before it actually sees the courts. And by that time, you have a practice that has basically become acceptable. It's a lot harder for the courts to take away something Congress has done when they've been doing it for 4, 5, or 6 years already. But we have the Congress. You have Congress who have just decided that they will do what they want, and they will make the courts take it away. And I think to a certain extent, the courts have gotten to where they don't want to do that.
And that's why you're seeing one side or the other talking about stacking the courts. And when I hear that, I cringe. It makes me cringe to my inner core. There should never, ever be any talk about stacking the courts. If we have justice in the Supreme Court or a federal judge or a state judge, and they are Republican or they are Democrat, they should not be a judge. I don't want a Republican judge in. I don't want a Democratic judge in. I want impartial judge, whether it's on the state, local state, federal, or Supreme Court. This conservative or Democrat judge being a judge, no, that needs to stop immediately, because what you're seeing now is a two-tiered justice system, and they all back each other. They know how to work the system, and nobody gets held accountable anymore.
Yeah. And you know who one of the biggest supporters of stacking the court is right now, right? She tweets about it probably every week, and that's Minnesota's own Senator Tina Smith. Every week, if you go back and you look at her Twitter, she's talking about the need to stack the courts. I mean, and I've been looking at it over and over the last few weeks. She's one of the ones I follow. Why? Because it gives me my opportunity to get on there and disagree. She is one of the ones who is most strongly pushing for doing that. And she's somebody who I really think needs to go in 2026. That's when she comes back up again. But yeah, she needs to go.
Yeah, and the worst part about that, ladies and gentlemen, is when you have a senator, a state senator like Tina Smith, who represents Minnesota, And they're tweeting that out, and they're putting that on their Facebook. And you have disgruntled Democratic voters, and you have disgruntled conservative voters and independent voters. That is a senator that has no business being anywhere near being a politician that is supposedly supposed to be representing the state. Because the state is a hell of a lot more than the metro area, the Rochester area, the Iron Range area. The state is Minnesota's two-thirds red. Minnesota's the rural communities have had enough of what's going on at the Capitol in Minnesota. And Bull is trying to change that with the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota. And I've grew a big interest when I found Bull on social media, and I started following him and started, you know, interacting with him, and I joined him at a couple events, and I thought, here's a guy with common sense. Does he wear a suit and tie everywhere he goes? No. No, and I, you know what? That's what, you know, makes me like him even more. Like, Bull is who he says he is. He doesn't hold any punches back. I mean, he doesn't lie to you. He tells you exactly how he feels. And he's even said, I watched a guy come up to him, shake his hand in southwest Minnesota at a parade that Bull walked in, and he walked up and shook his hand and asked him a question. You know, I don't remember exactly what the question is, but your response to him was, listen, you elect me to represent you. You don't elect me to pass my agendas or my narratives. You elect me to represent you. So if you call me and tell me, and the good majority of my constituents don't want something to pass, or they want something to pass, I will follow you. I will abide by that. And that impressed me a lot, because there, every other politician will blow smoke up your ass and just say, hey, you know, well, it's a little more complicated than that. But I'm telling you that as a constituent, I don't want that. I just had a recent conversation with my representative, and I asked him to help us out in a couple of different instances, and he never returned my call. He texted me. I texted back. He texted back. And then after that, it went silent. And I'm like, you know, dude, if you don't even have courage to call me back as a constituent, maybe I need to get involved and run for your seat, you know, and that's what we're talking about. You know, I'm running it through my head, and I've got a few more conversations I have to have before I can make it completely official. But Travis, would you do the audience a favor and let everybody know what's going on June 24th in Alexandria, Minnesota?
Yep. On June 24th in Alexandria, the Constitutional Republic Party is going to have our first convention. And this is where I guess you say a lot of things become official, because this is when we're going to pass our platform. This is when we're going to put our official committees together, I guess you could say. Because right now, until we have that convention, we're kind of like in an organizing state. Once that convention is done, I mean, we, in all intents and purposes, are a political party, although the state won't recognize it until we either pass a petition or get so many votes in an election. But one of the things with this Constitutional Republic Party, and Jeremy kind of hinted at it, is our platform is actually going to be very small. Our platform is going to be basically the Constitution. Following the Constitution. Those are the only restrictions that we're basically putting on our candidates, is you have to follow the Constitution. Other than that, if it's not listed in the Constitution, we expect you to listen to your constituents. You are their representatives first. And that's where I think the country has lost its way, is because right now the representatives are representatives of the parties. They're not representatives of the people. It's always the party that comes first. And if they're lucky, their majority or majority leader will say, vote your conscience. But otherwise, you're kind of expected to walk to the drum of what the party tells you to do. We don't want to be that way. We want to set the people free. That's what we want to do. We want to set you free of government, the nanny state, so you can make your own decisions. We want you to be able to influence your legislator to get things passed that you want to see passed. And any party platform should not get in the way. And that's one of the things I really love about our party and our platform and what we're doing is that we are truly trying to do the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Follow the Constitution.
Yeah.
Period.
So basically, if I ran for state representative in my district and a bill came up that Bull didn't necessarily agree with, and I didn't necessarily agree with, but it followed the Constitution, and my constituents said, we like it. Even though that me and Bull don't like it, I don't have to toe party lines. Constituents, as long as it's constitutional, within the, you know, what the constitutional Constitution reads, I'm expected to pass or vote yes on that, even though I'm not, you know, not fully behind it. And it obviously it depends on all the tag-ons and all that stuff, which I can explain later, because they always throw those bills on through Congress. And, well, I'll give you a yes vote or a no vote if you do this for me. Well, I'm not going to play games like that if I'm a representative. Like, I don't believe in tag-ons. Every bill should be a standalone bill. Then we're going to be there for 20 hours a day. That's what you signed up for, buddy. That we're working for the American people. You're working for your constituents. You don't go in there and make backroom deals with cigars in your mouth laughing at your constituents. You go in there and you make deals which is good for your constituents. That's what drives me nuts about politicians.
And that's the worst part right now. You look at just the recent vote on the debt ceiling. The American people weren't involved in that deal. Our representatives weren't involved in that deal. President Biden and McCarthy was involved in that deal. The two of them cut a deal and then basically shoved it down the throats of the American people. They shoved it down our representatives' throats saying, hey, this is what the deal, vote yes or vote no, whatever it may have been. But, yeah, this is something that those two people got together and said, this is what we're shoving down the throats of the American people. And we don't really care for your opinions on it. You're going to vote the way we want you to. And that's wrong. That's not what these deliberative bodies were invented to do. It was never meant to be that way.
Right. And that's exactly why Bull's doing what he's doing and why I got involved with what Bull's doing. Because I've sat back long enough, and I've been very vocal, of course, but I don't think I've done enough. And it drives me absolutely nuts to watch our country be torn apart from within. And they call them representatives. They're not representing anybody but their special interests. And that's not okay with me. If you want to donate $1 million to me to run for state senate or state representative or whatever it may be, you better expect honesty and transparency out of me. I'm not going to sell myself out or my constituents, and Travis won't do it either, for special interests. We expect you to donate because we're honest.
Well, and that's
and
one of the things that is
one thing, Travis. I want everybody to know, if you are listening over the internet, there is a guest call-in number. You're welcome to call in, and you're welcome to join this conversation. You're welcome to share your opinion, your thoughts, whatever it may be. We love callers. We love caller interaction. It's the most important thing I think there is in politics in general is interaction with possible constituents or even opposition, because that's how we come to the middle in the neutrality. That guest call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 516. Again, this is 516-387-1733. And when you call that number, 516-387-1733, make sure you press the number 1 as soon as you can hear us. Your number will pop up on my switchboard. I won't repeat your phone number, just the last 4 digits, and a little hand will come up that says you want to speak and you have something to say. and you're more than welcome to get on here and ask us anything you want. With that being said, sorry to interrupt you, Travis. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, one of the things I'm trying to do, too, with this party is follow the truth, okay? There's so much being thrown out there that is sensationalized and blown out of proportion and so forth. And once we start peeling back some of the layers of that onion and we get to the core of the problem, that's what we're going to act on, okay? I mean, and that's what's hard is because people are being fed by emotion. They want this. They believe this sounds right. This sounds good. But sometimes when you start peeling back the layers, you find out that's not actually what's going on. And I will always do my best to not sensationalize things. And if I do sensationalize things and I go back and find out I'm wrong, I mean, I believe in admitting it, saying, hey, this is – or if the popular opinion says this and I'm finding this, I will say, you know what, this is what I found. Show me where I'm wrong. And I believe that's what we have to get back to is actually making decisions based on facts and not emotions. And that's not always popular. That's not always easy. I mean, I see the culture wars as the Uniparty's way of keeping us on Team Red or Team Blue. Because as long as you have a war, you are either for it or against it, one side, or for or against the other side. That's how they keep us divided. And I made a post just this week on our Constitutional Republic Facebook page that said, hey, we're not going to play these culture war games. Nobody's going to win that. We're going to follow the facts. And we're going to look at it and say, how does this relate to the Constitution? And we're not going to go off of emotion. We're going to go off of these are the facts. This is the Constitution. How does this fit? And you may not always like it, but that's what we're going off of. And if you don't like it, the Founding Fathers gave us a way to amend the Constitution. It can be changed. But until it's changed, we are going to stick with what is on that piece of paper. And if you want to find out anything more about what we're doing with the Constitutional Republic Party, please go to our website, constitutionalrepublicparty.us. It tells you a little bit about us, what we're thinking, what we're doing. It gives you the opportunity to sign up for a membership or make a donation. We are in the process of doing a legal challenge against the state of Minnesota right now on ballot access. So if you are able, please donate to us if you can to our legal fund to make that changes because the Democrats here in Minnesota have basically made it real hard for third parties to get on the ballot. We scare them. They're trying to eliminate us so that we can't be quote-unquote spoilers. They're trying to remove your choices from the ballot to only A or B. And they think because they have enough people in the cities who will, as long as they don't give them another option, that the Democrats will always win based on the sheer numbers, as long as they can prevent their people from having an option other than the Republicans. And that's what they're trying to do, and that's what we're trying to prevent them from doing. We're actually in the process right now of retaining one of President Trump's attorneys from his second impeachment, who has agreed to work with us on this. So we have a lot of things in the pipeline that we're working on because we believe in a constitutional republic, you need to have choices on who your representatives are going to be, other than just A or B. Because we've seen what those jokers will do to our country.
And that, you know, we're giving you, we're trying to give you another option here, ladies and gentlemen. I've been screaming this for years from the mountaintops that our two-party system is ruining this country. You could see it happen gradually, step by step by step. And it didn't start with with Donald Trump. It didn't start with Joe Biden. It didn't start with Obama or Bush or Clinton. It started a long time ago. They've learned how to manipulate the American people. You know, you've heard that old saying that if you vote for that party, you're taking away a vote from that party. If you vote independent, you're taking a vote away from the Democrats. If you vote independent, you're taking a vote away from Republicans. What a scam that is. You look at Ross Perot when he ran. He was very, very well liked. Very well liked. And he had some problems, and the media bashed the hell out of him. And basically they convinced the people, well, you got to vote for your party, otherwise they're going to give the vote to this party. And it baffles me how easily people are manipulated. Just stop for 1 second. And, you know, let me get into it, just a brief story. Me and my mom had a talk after the last election. She was not a Trump fan. My dad was. My dad voted for Trump. My mom, she didn't like Biden either. She goes, but I can't vote for Trump. I says, okay, so there's other choices on the ballot, Mom. Oh, you got to, if I vote for somebody else, I'm giving a vote to Trump, and I don't like Trump. I said, no, that's not true. You're giving a vote to who you voted for. That's the bottom line. Who was the Libertarian candidate the lady last time, the presidential election?
Joe Jorgensen.
Do you remember? Yes, thank you.
Joe Jorgensen. Mama Joe.
I actually voted for her, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Even though now, and me and Travis will disagree on this, and that's okay. That this is what it's all about, is having a civil discussion. I now am a supporter of Trump after some things that have happened. I am not a supporter of Biden. I think Joe Jorgensen had some great ideas, and I did vote for her. And I explained to my mom, "You could have voted for Joe Jorgensen." She goes, "Well, who'd you vote for? Trump?" I said, "No, I voted for Joe Jorgensen." And she sounded surprised, like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, because I'm tired of the two-party system, and it's time for a change in this country." And she goes, "Well, you knew that she didn't have a chance." I said, "That's what the media told you. But what if everybody would have voted for their heart and their conscience and the person that they really believed in? Could she have had a chance? I don't know." You know, a lot of people criticize me for that decision. But at the end of the day, you can criticize me all you want. It was my decision, not yours. I didn't tell you who to vote for, and you shouldn't tell me who to vote for. So let's be honest about everything, you know.
And that's the battle we keep having, is nobody deserves your vote. That is your vote, your choice. Nobody else can tell you who deserves it. That is a decision for you to make. And when the Republicans are like, this person is stealing votes, what the frick are we stealing? They don't belong to you. You can't steal something from you that's not yours. And those votes don't belong to you unless you earn them. And right now they have just convinced, they have pulled the wool over everybody's eyes to say those votes belong to us. And people are going along with it and believing it, and they've stopped making their representatives earn their votes. They've stopped holding them accountable. I mean, perfect example is Tim Walz. Last year he ran on $2,000 for that surplus going to everybody in Minnesota. That's what he ran on. And then now he's bragging that he's given $500 to everybody. That's not what you promised when you ran. You're the Democrat. It's a Democrat House. It's a Democrat Senate. You could have vetoed that and said, I promised $2,000, but you didn't do that. You broke your promise. But the thing is, nobody's going to hold them accountable for breaking that promise. And they can't the Republicans wouldn't let us do it, because Republicans weren't going to stop that.
Not only that, Bull, is – so he promised everybody $2,000 with that billions and billions of dollars of surplus. Now he said, no, we're going to give you $500. Then they announce in Minnesota that they're going to pay for the health care and college education for illegal immigrants that have migrated to Minnesota. I'm not trying to get critical of anybody, but Lord Almighty, you got to look at that and say, wait, that was my tax money that I overpaid by the billions of dollars. Why are we giving it to non-citizens? And I'm not against illegal people. I want people to understand. I'm not against. However, there's a process that we must go through, and bullying your way to get your agenda. I don't know. I'll stop right now because I get frustrated when I talk about it.
Well, this is one of those things. I was talking to a buddy of mine this morning who runs a business, and we were talking about the law they passed for maternity leave, paid maternity leave. And for people who don't understand how this is going to work, the state is basically going to be paying for the maternity leave. But what they're doing is they're throwing a 7% tax directly onto the business's payrolls to pay for this. Businesses can't opt out. So they're basically going to up the human resources cost of every business in Minnesota by 7%. I think those businesses are going to have to do. They're going to have to raise the prices of their services by 7% to pay for that. What's that going to do for everything we buy that's manufactured? What's that going to do for everything manufactured in Minnesota? It now makes it 7% more expensive for anybody else to buy products made in Minnesota. I mean, I understand that the thought process behind it, but I don't think they really thought about what's going to happen. I mean,
well, how about all the small businesses that were shut down during the pandemic, Travis, that went out of business because they had no other option? How many Minnesota small businesses went out of business? And we're talking giving our money to everybody else.
Well, not only that, but what people need to realize now, too, is I believe that they can get up to, with the paid maternity, they can get up to 9 months off. If you're a small business owner and a young lady comes in who just got married to apply for your job, are you going to hire her? Knowing that if she decides to start a family, you're going to miss her. She's going to be gone, and you can't fire her. You can't replace her for 9 months, possibly 9 months of a year, every time she decides they decide to grow their family. And that they won't be there. But you have to keep that job open. You have to hold that slot. As a business, are you going to be willing to hire women? I mean, they won't officially say that's why they're not hiring them. But no, they're not going to hire them because they can't afford to hire them, keep them on staff, and then have to hire somebody else. If they get pregnant and they're gone for 9 months.
You know, that brings up a good point, Travis. You know, would you hire somebody that you know you'd have to pay for 9 months? I heard an employer today, and they come out and said, in the hiring process, and this is kind of, it's the same subject, but a little bit different, but the same subject. You'll understand once I get through it. But they said when somebody comes in and applies for a job and they have pronouns, they, them, he, she, or he, him, or she, her, those kind of pronouns, you know, what everybody's been hearing.
Mm-hmm.
They said, this particular employer said, I will not hire him. And why, do you ask? Because I ultimately know right away that you're going to become a problem inside the workplace. You're going to demand that everybody comply to you. You're going to be entitled. And he went down a whole list. And it made sense.
It was behind maintenance.
It wasn't trying to be mean. Right. He wasn't trying to be mean. He wasn't trying to discriminate. He was being honest and truthful because that's what those people have proven. And I hate to say it, those people, but you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
you can't expect everything is going to go your way 100% of the time when you completely stack the card or the deck against yourself. You have to kind of assimilate with society in some sense and say, you know what, I do want to start a family, but I don't expect my employer to pay me 9 months while that position is vacant. Yeah. They have a business to run, too. You're going to run them right into the ground.
Now, keep in mind, Jeremy, the businesses aren't having to pay them for that 9 months. The state is paying them during that 9 months with this 7% tax that they're charging them on payroll.
So I misspoke.
Yeah, you're paying 7% whether you have anybody who's gone or not. Okay, you're going to pay 7%.
The point. You're going to have to pay that 7%, and then, but you're going to have a person gone from your workforce for 9 months that you're expected to let back in. Right.
Correct.
So what do you hire a temp for 9 months?
Which tips cost more money.
Right.
Or do you hire somebody else and then you have to fire them or lay them off when the other worker comes back? I mean, it's a hard pill. And you know what? I really truly think that you will have some companies who would be willing to do that anyway, and that people would go to that company because, you know what, they take care of their employees. But I think that's what should be the determining factor. I really got concerned about how it affects our small businesses, okay? I'm not worried about what this does to Target. I'm not worried about what this does to 3M or these mega corporations. I'm more worried about what does it do for our small businesses, our small towns in small town Minnesota. How does that affect them? Where you may only have 3 or 4 employees. And in fairness, businesses have had to deal with that before. It's not just for maternity. We've always protected our National Guard members who could deploy for a year at a time. And those businesses that had to keep those jobs open. Okay, so it's not exactly asking them to do something they've never done before, but it's asking them to do something on a much bigger scale than they've ever had to do before. I mean, we've always known, being military and having been National Guard, that when I was applying for a job, they didn't find out I was National Guard till after I was hired. Because I knew if I told them I was National Guard before, there was a good chance I wouldn't get the job because they'd be worried about losing me for duty or for drill or for deployments. And we always understood that. I mean, and my son is kind of, I think, was having to do the same thing because he's Air National Guard. So it's something we've learned. You know what? Don't tell him. It's not really fair that we don't tell him off the front. But we know it'll be held against us. But now you're putting every woman in that situation where that's going to be something that the owners are going to worry about. So
We've got a lot of problems in this country right now, ladies and gentlemen. On state level, on the federal level, I mean, at the local level, your school board, you have a federal government weaponizing the DOJ against your parents going to school boards and speaking against certain issues, and you look at Loudoun County, Virginia, and the cover up there, the sexual assault, and it's important that we all know the Constitution. It's very important that we understand the Constitution. You're not going to be a genius or an Einstein on what it all means, but you should at least know the basics of what your Constitution is. Currently in the state of Minnesota, like Travis had said earlier, we have to have a petition, signed petition, or enough signatures in order for the Constitutional Republic Party to even be on the ballot. That's not freedom. that's suppression of your votes and suppression of your First Amendment rights. You're allowed to vote for whoever you want. And when a government tells you that they're not going to be on the ballot because we don't think they have enough support, we think this, we think that, that's not okay. You know that, and I know that, which is why I have, you know, talked to Travis numerous times, and I contacted him, and we have to grow the Constitutional Republic Party in order to get some kind of fairness back into politics, not only in the state of Minnesota, but nationwide. I pay attention to quite a bit of stuff, and I pay attention to what's going on in Arizona with the Carrie Lake issue, and you know, I always get blasted for, oh, you're an election denier, blah blah blah. No, listen, I've seen all of the evidence, dude, and what's going on down there is absolutely ridiculously insane. It's obvious that there are multiple politicians that have been paid off, bribed, whatever you want to call it, including judges, and that's not okay. We have to straighten this system out, this government, and bring that power back to the people, like almost like yesterday, because it's going downhill very, very fast. And if we don't all stand up and get involved and don't do something about this, we're not going to have an America that we once knew, and never again. And once America falls, a lot of experts I watch and pay attention to, they're very nervous that the world, that's it. And I'm not going to get into stuff that I talk about on my Thursday night radio show, because that's a different time. We'll put it that way. I kind of want to keep to the facts of what's happening in the state of Minnesota and the Constitutional Republic Party and the Constitution itself, because that's why Travis joined the radio show. And I appreciate that, Travis. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I knew we wouldn't have a long night tonight, and we don't have a lot of we don't have any audience participation tonight, which is unfortunate, but understandable, that happens. As the radio show, as we progress, we'll get more people that listen and call in, and we'll have some dialogue, hopefully. Me and Travis were also talking before the show that we're both, the algorithms on social media is literally killing us. I'm going to try something different next week for the show, for both shows, actually. I'm gonna advertise it, do their little Facebook advertisement and Twitter advertisement to try to boost posts, just to get some, it doesn't cost much, like $10 or something like that, just to see if we can get some more people on here to spread the word and help everybody understand what's really happening, not only in the state of Minnesota, but federally involving the Constitution. And in order to get the Constitutional Republic Party's name out there and get some, you know, grow the followers. And speaking of followers, Travis, please let everybody know where they can find you on Facebook and Twitter.
All right. On Twitter, I mean, you can find me at Travis Bull John 1, or you can also, and on Facebook, it's Travis Bull Johnson, Homestead and Politics. And we'd love to see you. Also, I mean, we're on Facebook. The Constitutional Republic Party is on Facebook. Please just Google Constitutional Republic Party or the Constitutional Republic Party. You'll find us. And we're cons rep on Twitter. So we'd really love to see y'all
cons
on there.
Cons rep US.
And, cons rep US on Twitter. I'm sorry. And please give us a like and follow and share. I mean, we need you to help us spread the word, because the parties, the major parties, they're going to do everything they can to keep us down. So it's up to the American people to say y'all want a choice. So I'd appreciate any help you can give us.
So, yeah, so please go give Travis a follow on Twitter, again, at Travis Bull John 1, the number 1, otherwise at Cons, C-O-N-S, Rep U-S, or Facebook, Travis Bull Johnson, Homestead and Politics. And also the website, and what's the website again, Travis?
It's constitutionalrepublicparty.us.
constitutionalrepublicparty.us. And there you can go in to help donate if you can. If you can afford it, it would be greatly appreciated, because, like he said, all this stuff takes money, and they're fighting a court battle as we speak, and we're trying to fix this country from within. Like-minded individuals, we might not look like a politician, and that's probably a good thing, because anybody that dresses in a suit every single day and blows smoke up your ass isn't a guy that I want to vote for anymore. I want to vote for the guy that looks like he's just got done working for the day, but he knows that he's got to stand up to protect our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms for generations to come. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end episode number 3 of The Constitutionalist. We will be back next week, Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central Time, to talk about the 4th Amendment. And that one we'll get into, because there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, that there's a lot to talk to. But please share us out. Let people know about us. Again, please call in. The guest call-in number, it never changes from week to week. So just punch this number in your phone. It's 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just press the number 1. And I will make sure to post that tomorrow along with another a link to this tonight's program, so you can re-listen to it, because these are recorded. You can re-listen if you don't have time on Tuesday nights. We appreciate the live interaction, but if you can't, we understand. But again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And when you get through and you start hearing us, just press the number 1. Lets us know on a switchboard that you want to talk. Also, on Thursday nights, I do have a radio show called the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And the guest call-in number is the same for there. We talk about a lot of different things on their current events. So I try to keep it more focused on the Constitution and laws and bills and legislation being passed in Minnesota on this one, so we can build the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota. So on that note, Travis, thank you again for another great episode. And everybody else, we'll see you next Tuesday night, and thank you for listening.